Welcome to the Faith Comes From Hearing podcast. This podcast will be a sharing of part of my morning routine as I prepare for the day with the Word of God. We will be partaking of Puritan prayers from the Valley of Vision, each day's morning devotional from Charles Haddon Spurgeon's Morning and Evening, and we'll be reading from the Legacy Standard Bible, which is the newest and, I believe, the most accurate translation of the Word of God. We will be following a Bible reading calendar that provides for reading the whole Bible in a year that was created by Minister Robert Murray McShane for his congregation back in 1842, and that has been a part of my daily reading for over 6 years now. Good morning and welcome to the Sunday, August 20th episode of the Faith Comes From Hearing podcast. I'm Wayne Floyd, your host. The Faith Comes From Hearing podcast is a humble member of the Christian podcast community. You can find us over at christianpodcastcommunity.org. A lot of great listening over there. Over 60 well-curated podcasts, very wide variety of topics. We are all united around a common general set of beliefs. So you don't have to worry about weird, strange content and unacceptable content. It should all be, that's part of the vetting process. So I would definitely encourage you to get out there. I guarantee you that you will find something to listen to, and there's a very real probability you'll find more to listen to out there than you have time to listen. I know that happened to me. That is for sure. I want to continue to point you at the final link in our show notes. That is for the Vail Valley Baptist Church Give Send Go campaign. We are striving to rapidly pay off our mortgage so that we can commence establishment of a Christian classic education-based school, so that we can provide a trustworthy alternative here within our community. Go ahead and click on the link. Pastor Jay has provided you a very, very thorough description, obviously much more thorough than I've just given you, and description of what we're trying to do. Then we would ask three things of you. We'd ask you to pray for us. We'd ask you to prayerfully consider giving to us. And we'd ask you to pass the link along so others can do the same. I want to apologize to you. This didn't come out at the crack of dawn because I didn't get it recorded last night. Reason being, my wife and I went to what was billed to us as a birthday party for my youngest son's girlfriend slash fiance slash the mother of his unborn daughter, and we were surprised with their wedding. It was, they called it their shotgun wedding, and actually I'm going to have to dig up the picture, get somebody to send me the pictures. They actually took some pictures with a shotgun and a pitchfork, just to be very humorous. But we are very, very blessed. We love my now daughter-in-law, Emily. We have from the get-go, and now she is permanently a part of our family, and we are grateful, as is her mother, Julie. We love Julie to death. And we were also blessed with, we finally got the name of the unborn baby. She is going to be Evangeline Julie. We're trying to carry along Julie's name since she has no sons of her own and any of that. They wanted to use her name as the baby's middle name. I think that's wonderful. I think that was beautiful. But Evangeline, so now the granddaughter I'm expecting in December, or they're expecting in December, and so am I, will be Evangeline Julie. So very much looking forward to that. So that's why we were near 10 o'clock getting home last night, so I wasn't able to get recording in. So thus I'm jumping on it today, and with it being a Sunday morning, I need to get ready for church as well. So we're going to try to do this quickly, but properly. And I can get it published and get it out to you so y'all can listen this morning or listen today at some time. So let's go ahead and get started. We're going to open up like we usually do with prayer. We're going to open up with one, with our typical, as opposed to the first day morning prayer, we're going to use the Lord's Day prayer this morning. So let's pray. O maker and upholder of all things, day and night are thine. They are also mine from thee. The night to rid me of the cares of the day, to refresh my weary body, to renew my natural strength. The day to summon me to new activities, to give me opportunity to glorify thee, to serve my generation, to acquire knowledge, holiness, eternal life. But one day above all days is made especially for thy honor and my improvement. The Sabbath reminds me of thy rest from creation. of the resurrection of my Savior, of his entering into repose. Thy house is mine, but I am unworthy to meet thee there, and am unfit for spiritual service. When I enter it, I come before thee as a sinner, condemned by conscience and thy word, for I am still in the body and in the wilderness, ignorant, weak, in danger, and in need of thine aid, but encouraged by thy all-sufficient grace. Let me go to thy house with a lively hope of meeting thee, knowing that there thou wilt come to me and give me peace. My soul is drawn out to thee in longing desires, for thy presence in the sanctuary, at the table, where all are entertained on a feast of good things. Let me, before the broken elements, emblems of thy dying love, cry to thee with broken heart for grace and forgiveness. I long for that blissful communion of thy people, in thy eternal house, in the perfect kingdom. These are they that follow the Lamb. May I be of their company. Amen. All right, our morning devotion this morning from Spurgeon's Morning and Evening. The text is from 2 Samuel 23:1. The Sweet Psalmist of Israel. Among all the saints whose lives are recorded in Holy Writ, David possesses an experience of the most striking, varied, and instructive character. In his history, we meet with trials and temptations not to be discovered as a whole in other saints of ancient times, and hence he is all the more suggestive a type of our Lord. David knew the trials of all ranks and conditions of men. Kings have their troubles, and David wore a crown. The peasant has his cares, and David handled a shepherd's crook. The wanderer has many hardships, and David abode in the caves of En-Gedi. The captain has his difficulties, and David found the sons of Zeruiah too hard for him. The psalmist was also tired in his friends. His counselor Ahithophel forsook him. He that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. His worst foes were they of his own household. His children were his greatest affliction. The temptations of poverty and wealth, of honor and reproach, of health and weakness, all tried their power upon him. He had temptations from without to disturb his peace, and from within to mar his joy. David no sooner escaped from one trial than he fell into another. No sooner emerged from one season of despondency and alarm than he was again brought into the lowest depths, and all God's waves and billows rolled over him. It is probably from this cause that David's psalms are so universally the delight of experienced Christians. Whatever our frame of mind, whether ecstasy or depression, David has exactly described our emotions. He was an able master of the human heart because he had been tutored in the best of all schools, the school of heartfelt personal experience. As we are instructed in the same school, as we grow matured in grace and in years, we increasingly appreciate David's psalms and find them to be green pastures. My soul, let David's experience cheer and counsel thee this day. Whew. Very, very true. That's why I'm very, very grateful that Pastor Jay, starting in September, we will be doing Wednesday night service, working our way through the Old Testament, and he's starting with the Minor Prophets. But then at the end of each month, he's going to have me preach as well, and I'm going to be working us through the Psalms, and I'm ecstatic about that. I'm so looking forward to doing that. Not just the preaching. I mean, I definitely, you know, I feel called to feed God's sheep, but I'm just so looking forward to digging into the Psalms myself. I'm ecstatic about that. All right. So our reading for today. We're going to be reading Esther 8, 9, and 10, so continuing on the story of Esther. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 27 through all of 1 Corinthians 13, and I think, if I remember right, that's the love chapter, so that's going to be good. Psalm 37, verses 1 through 11, and Proverbs 21, verses 23 and 24. So Esther 8. On that day, King Ahasuerus gave the house of Haman, the adversary of the Jews, to Queen Esther, and Mordecai came before the king, for Esther had told what he was to her. And the king removed his signet ring, which he had taken away from Haman, and gave it to Mordecai. And Esther set Mordecai over the house of Haman. Then Esther spoke again to the king, fell at his feet, wept, and implored him to repeal the evil scheme of Haman the Agagite, and his scheme which he had devised against the Jews. And the king extended the golden scepter to Esther, so Esther arose and stood before the king. Then she said, if it seems good to the king, and if I have found favor before him, and the matter seems proper to the king, and I am good in his eyes, let it be written to turn back the letters devised by Haman, the son of Hammedatha the Agagite, which he wrote to cause the Jews who are in all the king's provinces to perish. For how can I endure to see the calamity which will befall my people, and how can I endure to see the perishing of my kinsmen? So King Ahasuerus said to Queen Esther and to Mordecai the Jew, behold, I have given the house of Haman to Esther, and him they have hanged on the gallows, because he had sent forth his hand against the Jews. Now you write to the Jews, according to what is good in your eyes, in the king's name, and seal it with the king's signet ring, for a written decree, which is written in the name of the king, and sealed with the king's signet ring, may not be turned back. So the king's scribes were called at that time, in the third month, that is the month Sivan, on the 23rd day, and it was written according to all that Mordecai commanded to the Jews, the satraps, the governors, and the princes of the provinces, which extended from India to Ethiopia, 127 provinces, to every province according to its script, and to every people according to their tongue, as well as to the Jews according to their script and their tongue. And he wrote in the name of King Ahasuerus, and sealed it with the king's signet ring, and sent letters by the hand of couriers on horses, riding on steeds sired by the royal stud. In them the king gave the Jews who were in each and every city the right to assemble and to make a stand for their lives, to destroy, to kill, and to cause to perish the entire military force of any people or province which would act as their adversaries, including little ones and women, and to plunder their spoil. On one day in all the provinces of King Ahasuerus, the 13th day of the 12th month, that is the month Adar. A copy of that which was written down to be given as law in each and every province was revealed to all the peoples, so that the Jews would be ready for this day to avenge themselves on their enemies. The couriers, hurried and hastened by the king's word, went out, riding on the royal steeds, and the law was given out at the citadel in Susa. Then Mordecai went out from the presence of the king in royal robes of blue and fine white, with a large crown of gold and a garment of fine linen and purple, and the city of Susa cried aloud and was glad. For the Jews there was light and gladness and joy and honor. And in each and every province and in each and every city, wherever the king's word and his law reached, there was gladness and joy for the Jews, a feast and a holiday. And many among the peoples of the land became Jews, for the dread of the Jews had fallen on them. All right, we're going to read Esther 9, but I need some tea. Hang on a sec. Okay, Esther 9. Now in the 12th month, that is the month Adar, on the 13th day, when the king's word and the law had reached the point for them to be done, on the day when the enemies of the Jews hoped to gain power over them, it was turned around so that the Jews themselves gained power over those who hated them. The Jews assembled in their cities throughout all the provinces of King Ahasuerus to send forth their hand against those who sought their calamity. And no one could stand before them, for the dread of them had fallen on all the peoples, even all the princes of the provinces, the satraps, the governors, and those who were doing the king's work advanced the Jews, because the dread of Mordecai had fallen on them. Indeed, Mordecai was great in the king's house, and the report about him went throughout all the provinces, for the man Mordecai became greater and greater. Thus the Jews struck all their enemies with the sword, killing and causing them to perish. And they did what they pleased to those who hated them. And at the citadel in Susa, the Jews killed and caused to perish 500 men. And Parshandatha, Daphon, Aspatha, Poratha, Adalia, Eridatha, Parmashta, Arasai, Aridai, and Visatha, the 10 sons of Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Jews' adversary. But they did not send forth their hand for the plunder. On that day the number of those who were killed at the citadel in Susa came to the king. So the king said to Queen Esther, the Jews have killed and caused to perish 500 men, and the 10 sons of Haman at the citadel in Susa. Now in the rest of the king's provinces, what have they done? So what is your petition? It shall even be given to you, and what is your further request? It shall also be done. Then Esther said, if it is good to the king, let tomorrow also be given to the Jews who are in Susa to do according to the law for today. And let Haman's 10 sons be hanged on the gallows. So the king said that it should be done so, and a law was given in Susa, and Haman's 10 sons were hanged. And the Jews who were in Susa assembled also on the 14th day of the month Adar and killed 300 men in Susa. But they did not send forth their hand for the plunder. Now the rest of the Jews who were in the king's provinces assembled to make a stand for their lives and obtain rest for themselves from their enemies, and to kill 75,000 of those who hated them. But they did not send forth their hand for the plunder. This was done on the 13th day of the month Adar, and on the 14th day they rested and made it a day of feasting and gladness. But the Jews who were in Susa assembled on the 13th and the 14th of the same month, and they rested on the 15th day and made it a day of feasting and gladness. Therefore the Jews of the rural areas who live in the rural towns make the 14th day of the month Adar a holiday for gladness and feasting, and sending portions of food to one another. Then Mordecai wrote down these events, and he sent letters to all the Jews who were in all the provinces of King Ahasuerus, both near and far, to establish among them to celebrate the 14th day of the month Adar and the 15th day of the same month annually, because on those days the Jews obtained rest for themselves from their enemies. And it was a month which was turned around for them from sorrow into gladness and from mourning into a holiday, that they should make them days of feasting and gladness, and sending portions of food to one another and gifts to the poor. Thus the Jews fully accepted what they had started to do, and what Mordecai had written to them. For Haman the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, the adversary of all the Jews, had devised against the Jews to cause them to perish, and had cast Pur, that is the lot, to throw them into confusion and cause them to perish. But when it came before the king, he said by letter that his evil scheme, which he had devised against the Jews, should return on his own head, and that he and his sons should be hanged on the gallows. Therefore they called these days Purim, after the name of Pur. Therefore, because of the words in this letter, both what they had seen in this regard and what had reached them, the Jews established and accepted a custom for themselves and for their seed, and for all those who joined themselves to them, so that celebrating these 2 days according to what was written down and according to their fixed time from year to year would not pass away. So these days were to be remembered and celebrated throughout every generation, every family, every province, and every city. Thus these days of Purim were not to pass away from among the Jews, nor their memory come to an end from their seed. Then Queen Esther, daughter of Abihail, with Mordecai the Jew, wrote with full authority to establish this second letter about Purim. And he sent letters to all the Jews, to the 127 provinces of the kingdom of Ahasuerus, namely words of peace and truth, to establish these days of Purim at their appointed times, just as Mordecai the Jew and Queen Esther had established for them, and just as they had established for themselves and for their seed, with words concerning their times of fasting and their crying out. And the declaration of Esther established these words concerning Purim, and it was written in the book. Esther 10. Then King Ahasuerus set forced labor upon the land and the coastlands of the sea. And the entire work of his authority and his might, and the full account of the greatness of Mordecai, whom the king had made so great, are they not written in the book of the chronicles of the kings of Media and Persia? For Mordecai the Jew was second only to King Ahasuerus, and was great among the Jews, and pleasing to his many fellow brothers, one who sought the good of his people, and one who spoke for the peace of all his seed. All right. 1 Corinthians 12, starting verse 27. Now you are Christ's body, and individually members of it, and God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, administrations, various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all translate? But you earnestly desire the greater gifts, and I will yet show you a more excellent way. 1 Corinthians 13. If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, I have become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. And if I give all my possessions to feed the poor, and if I surrender my body to be burned, but do not have love, it profits me nothing. Love is patient, love is kind, is not jealous, does not brag, is not puffed up, it does not act unbecomingly, does not seek its own, is not provoked, does not take into account a wrong suffered. It does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. But if there are gifts of prophecy, they will be done away. If there are tongues, they will cease. If there is knowledge, it will be done away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when the perfect comes, the partial will be done away. When I was a child, I used to speak like a child, think like a child, reason like a child. When I became a man, I did away with childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I will know fully, just as I also have been fully known. But now abide faith, hope, love, these three. But the greatest of these is love. How appropriate to be the day after my son's wedding. All right, Psalm 37, verses 1 through 11. Of David. Do not fret because of evildoers. Be not envious toward doers of unrighteousness. For they will wither quickly like the grass and fade like the green herb. Trust in Yahweh and do good. Dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. Delight yourself in Yahweh and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to Yahweh, trust in him, and he will do it. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your judgment as the noonday. Be still in Yahweh and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who carries out schemes of wickedness. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. It leads only to evil doing. For evildoers will be cut off, but those who hope for Yahweh, they will inherit the land. Yet a little while, and the wicked man will be no more. You will look carefully at his place, and he will not be there. But the lowly will inherit the land, and will delight themselves in abundant peace. All right, and I think we'll finish that psalm tomorrow. And then Proverbs 21, verse 23 and 24. He who keeps his mouth and his tongue keeps his soul from troubles. Arrogant, haughty, scoffer are his names, who acts with arrogant fury. All right, well, that is our reading for the day, and I'm sorry, I've got some kind of frog in my throat. All right, let's do our evening devotion. The evening devotion is, the text is from Nehemiah 3:8, and they fortified Jerusalem unto the broad wall. Cities well fortified have broad walls, and so had Jerusalem in her glory. The new Jerusalem must, in like manner, be surrounded and preserved by a broad wall of nonconformity to the world and separation from its customs and spirit. The tendency of these days breaks down the holy barrier and makes the distinction between the church and the world merely nominal. Professors are no longer strict and puritanical. Questionable literature is read on all hands. Frivolous pastimes are currently indulged, and a general laxity threatens to deprive the Lord's peculiar people of those sacred singularities which separate them from sinners. It will be an ill day for the church and the world when the proposed amalgamation shall be complete, and the sons of God and the daughters of men shall be as one. Then shall another deluge of wrath be ushered in. Beloved reader, be it your aim in heart, in word, in dress, in action, to maintain the broad wall, remembering that the friendship of this world is enmity against God. The broad wall afforded a pleasant place of resort for the inhabitants of Jerusalem, from which they could command prospects of the surrounding country. This reminds us of the Lord's exceeding broad commandment, in which we walk at liberty in communion with Jesus, overlooking the scenes of earth and looking out towards the glories of heaven. Separated from the world and denying ourselves all ungodliness and fleshly lusts, we are nevertheless not in prison nor restricted within narrow bounds. Nay, we walk at liberty because we keep his precepts. Come, reader, this evening walk with God in his statutes. As friend met friend upon the city wall, so meet thou thy God in the way of holy prayer and meditation. The bulwarks of salvation thou hast a right to traverse, for thou art a freeman of the royal burg, a citizen of the metropolis of the universe. All right. Well, that is our episode for today. I thank you for spending this time with me. Again, I'm sorry it wasn't out at the crack of dawn, but I think you would understand why, and I hope for grace from you because of that. I hope you have yourself a wonderful day and have had a great weekend. And if you have not yet worshiped with the saints, do so today. That's part of why I need to get this done quick so I can get ready to go worship with the saints. But I would definitely encourage you to do so. I would beg you to do so. We must to be obedient to our Lord and Savior and to our God. All right. Well, let's go ahead and close out in prayer. We're going to close out with the Lord's Day evening prayer. Let's pray. Most holy God, may the close of an earthly Sabbath remind me that the last of them will one day end. Animate me with joy that in heaven praise will never cease, that adoration will continue forever, that no flesh will grow weary, no congregations disperse, no affections flag, no thoughts wander, no will droop, but all will be adoring love. Guard my mind from making ordinances my stay or trust, from hewing out broken cisterns, from resting on outward helps. Wing me through earthly forms to thy immediate presence. May my feeble prayer show me the emptiness and vanity of my sins. Deepen in me the conviction that my most fervent prayers and most lowly confessions need to be repented of. May my best services bring me nearer to the cross and prompt me to cry, "None but Jesus." By thy Spirit, give abiding life to the lessons of this day. May the seed sown take deep root and yield a full harvest. Let all who see me take knowledge that I have been with thee, that thou hast taught me my need as a sinner, hast revealed a finished salvation to me, hast enriched me with all spiritual blessings, hast chosen me to show forth Jesus to others, hast helped me to dispel the mists of unbelief. O great Creator, mighty Protector, gracious Preserver, thou dost load me with loving kindness, and hast made me thy purchased possession, and redeemed me from all guilt. I praise and bless thee for my Sabbath rest, my calm conscience, my peace of heart. Amen. All right, again, I hope you have yourself a great day, and I hope to see you Monday morning. Have a good one. God bless.